The 7 Ultimate Guide to Saving and Fixing a Broken Marriage. The first one is God. What says you?
Absolutely.
God, no, wait. Always. I promise. Just stick to the end of this video. It's going to make sense. This is not some gimmicky thing where we say it's just God, God, God. No, no, no. Mm-mm. If you know us, you know.
You already know.
You already know. How you know. Wait. But trust me when I say number one is God. Right. Why do you think God number one?
Because when you're going through hard times, tough times, losing yourself, mm-hmm. losing your spouse, who do you back on? It's not going to be family.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be friends.
Mm.
Nobody's going to be there for you. Even they're going to try and be there for you, but they're not going to be there for you.
They're going to think they're there for you too.
They're going to think they're there for you.
Yeah.
In their own way, it could be selfish,
mm-hmm.
but it's only God that has that unconditional love.
Mm.
And the only person that can steer you right.
Right.
For so, me, that was the only thing I could depend on.
She hit it on the head because the unconditional love is why God comes first. Because that's the only thing that gives you the ability to have what we call unconditional love, right? And when your spouse checks out on you, right? You have in your brain, you feel like you have a broken marriage right now. Your marriage is not 100% where you think God has ordained it to be, right? Mm-hmm. The only thing that can fix it is unconditional love, the real love, right? Not the in love experience, which is different from real love. You probably had the in love experience with your spouse. You probably had that with when you just met somebody and they don't even know themselves, right? You had the butterflies and all those things.
Excited.
They don't know themselves. So naturally, you have the in love experience, but it's going to get to a point you're going to be tested. And the only thing that can withstand that test is unconditional love. And the only source of unconditional love is understanding God and making God the center core, spinal cord,
foundation
of your marriage. Hmm. And even when things have gone really, really bad, it's the number one place you want to run to. And you want to make sure that your spiritual health is very, very strong. Because, again, you're probably being tested already. You're probably going through a very horrible situation already. But if you have that strong spiritual connection, you'll be able to attach the right meanings to whatever you're going through.
Yes.
Because we all go through stuff in life, don't we?
We have to. It's called challenges.
What separates the losers from the winners are the meanings you attach to the things you go through. That's what's going to determine how you're going to come out on the other side. Because there's an other side. There is an other side. Mm-hmm. Either you do it right or wrong. There is an other side. But what the other side looks like is going to be dependent on your spiritual connection with your God so you can create what we call unconditional love. Because that person that has checked out on you, your spouse checked out on you. That's why you're going through what you're going through. They checked out on you. Maybe you're the one that said you don't want anymore. They still checked out on you. That's why you said you don't want anymore, right? But even if it's the other way around, it's the same thing. Basically, it's a 50-50 effort to come to that place where you are.
Yep.
The only thing that can help you at that point in time is to give them what they want. In spite of them, you feeling like they're hurting you. How are you going to love somebody that's hurting you, right? Of course, you cannot be in love with the person that's hurting you or you think they're hurting you. It's impossible. You're not going to be in love with them naturally, but you can have unconditional love for them. You can take the time to see what may seem like wickedness as a weakness, right?
That's true.
You can take the time and, more importantly, you can let God do all the work because a lot of the time, you're probably in the way of God trying to help you fix that issue. The 7 Ultimate Guide to Saving and Fixing a Broken Marriage. Let's go to the second one. The second thing here is purpose.
Purpose.
Can you speak to that?
Oh. Well,
ladies first.
You have to have purpose in life. Because if you're depending on somebody else's purpose, chances are you're already lost. You don't know why you're here.
Yeah.
So you have to build your own purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, then you have to search for it. You have to keep trying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have a purpose.
You have to find your purpose.
There's a reason why God brought you to this earth. It's not just to be married. It's not just to have children. Mm-hmm. It's not just to, you know, just be there. Mm-hmm. God has a purpose for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that purpose, you're going to lose your way, especially in a marriage.
Yes. So one of the secrets to attracting your spouse back when they've checked out on you is to go radio silence on them. You have to basically give them what they ask for, which is they want to cut it. You have to give them exactly that. The number one reason we gave you why you'll be able to do that is because unconditional love will make you do that.
Yes.
Because if you love them enough, you let them go if that's what they're asking for. It doesn't mean that you guys are not going to get back together. It doesn't mean you guys are not going to fix what you have. But the second thing that you can depend on, that you will need to help strengthen you during that period, is your purpose. If you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a mission in life, you will be lost too. You're going to feel weak. You're going to become one of those people that somebody broke up with you, you're trying to commit suicide. It's a lack of sense of purpose.
Yes,
you've heard celebrities do that before. Because you're a celebrity and you're making millions of dollars doesn't mean you're in your purpose. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you're fully 100% in your purpose. Okay? So what you want to do is, you want to, as your second pillar, you want to have that purpose that's only you understand, that you enjoy doing, that you know even if you're not getting paid, you will keep doing it, that you know comes before your spouse.
Yep. Your purpose comes before your spouse.
Yeah. If your, whatever you call purpose right now, if it doesn't come before your spouse, it's not strong enough. Because what's going to happen is that you're going to come off as needy. You're going to be clingy. You're going to be in their nose all the time. You're going to basically be overwhelming them, right? And even whatever they're going through right now that makes them check out, they're not going to have enough room to see that, listen, I'm about to miss out, right? And plus, in addition to that, what's your value? The 7 Ultimate Guide to Saving and Fixing a Broken Marriage. The third pillar you want to have is yourself, okay? It starts from self-development. It's a continuing education thing.
Yep.
You have to continue to work on yourself. It's a self-improvement. You have to learn what makes you tick, right? You have to master yourself. Because number one, you need to master others. But you cannot master others unless you master yourself. Self-development, continuing education. How important do you think that is?
It's very important. It's like...
Because those days are coming, right?
Oh, they are coming.
Those days are coming.
What are you going to stand on when you start having those challenges?
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing about challenges is that they're not going to show up in the same form that it showed up to us.
No.
It's not going to show up the same way it showed up to you yesterday.
No.
It's going to be different today. It's going to be different. And because you saw somebody went through in their own marriage and they fixed it, then doesn't mean it's going to come to you like that. Doesn't mean it's going to feel the same way.
Right.
So you have to develop yourself.
You have to.
Okay. So the first three core pillars is GPS, God, purpose, self. You have to develop yourself. The number one reason, before I dive into the other four things you need to pay attention to here, the number one reason to work on yourself is self-respect. You got to have enough self-respect for yourself to think that you have to keep fueling this thing and keep oiling it, right? Mm. It's like an engine, like a machine that's running every day.
Yeah.
This one beats it up. The family beats it up. The in-law beats it up. Your children are trying to take away from you as well, too.
Yeah.
So if you're not building yourself to 100,
break down.
You're going to break down. And the way you're going to break down for some people is physical. Mostly it's not physical. It's mentally, it's emotionally.
I think for women, it's mostly mentally.
Yeah.
Emotionally, you're just...
That's down. When people check out. And a lot of times they check out 20 years even before it manifests in words. Like, I don't want anymore. I'm not in love anymore. I need space. I need time. I need to find myself. You ever heard that before? Right? I need to go to bed. You know? No, we need to talk about it before we go to bed. No, I need to go to bed.
Now.
You know, so checking out comes in different mild ways before it becomes a big blowout, you know. And chances are you're already going through some of those things right now. And or you already gone through them. Well, the first key is, again, God. Purpose. Self. Take this time. Give them the space, the time that they want. Right? Give it to them. Because this self, it's so precious it's so awesome that it needs to be oiled. It needs to be, you need to take care of it now as well. Go to the gym, work on your mind, read books, audio books, self-development
very,
books.
Very
right?
important.
Very, very important. You got to feed your mind because an idle mind is the devil's playground.
Preach.
Did I just preach?
It's true. I mean, right. Everyone knows this, but I think for some reason, it doesn't really sink in.
Yeah, like, yeah. We all know this stuff, by the way. We knew them too. And then we went into, like, our marriage went dead
still didn't
for
stop.
2 years.
It
our
still
marriage
didn't stop us.
Went, let me say this. Our marriage went dead, completely dead for 2 years. Like, literally walking around like zombies. Okay? That marriage.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The marriage. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the only thing that fixed it is what we're sharing with you right now. The 7 Ultimate Guide to Saving and Fixing a Broken Marriage. The fourth thing here that we need to point out to you is your reactions. You know, so most people, your knee-jerk reaction is to react with fear and anxiety. What says you about that, babe?
Well, that's not going to do you any good. Because the more you react, the more crazy you look.
Whoa.
And your reaction is still not going to fix what's already on ground.
Yeah,
so
it makes it
why
worse.
Why even go there? Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go back to that part. Let me work on myself. And let me tell you, this is very natural because we're all humans.
Yes.
You want to react.
It's natural for you to react to fear and anxiety.
Yes. But if you have GPS, you have God, you have purpose, you have that self-respect, trust me, it's going to be like magic.
Yeah, because you already know from here, you already know that your reacting with your fear and anxiety is not going to help
you. It's not going to get you anywhere.
Right? I need space. Your fear says, space? We don't do that. We're married. Space. I need to go on a trip with my girls. Who does that when they're in a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
You're reacting with fear and anxiety, right? And yes, you may think you're right. You may actually be right.
You can be right.
But that's not going to help you.
It's not going to stop the
right,
other person.
When was the last time being right helped anybody? Right? In a marriage, right? When was the last time? So I need some time. I need to work on myself. I don't know what that means. You start reacting with fear and anxiety, and then you push that person away more
further.
And more. And further away and more and more. And you can actually push them into destruction. Or in most cases, it's not necessarily destruction. You push them away to another man, another woman.
Mm.
You know, you do that. It takes time, but usually it catches up to you. Like, it looks like overnight.
Right.
And you didn't know that your marriage has been in trouble all the while. So if you are the person that reacts with fear, with anxiety, every time somebody says something, you definitely want to put that in check, okay? You want to put that in check. Part of the ways we show fear or react to fear and anxiety is sarcasm. Mm. Arguments come from things like that, right?
Yeah.
When I say you don't argue with a woman if you understand a woman, and usually somebody says, what do you mean? We're just husband and wife, and sometimes we argue, well, you're cooking your own trouble, you know.
And have a healthy conversation.
Yes. Of course, you can have a healthy debate, but you got to know when it's getting to an argument. You could feel
You got
to
know how to
you know,
backtrack.
You could feel, arguments like a high. You can feel the high already that this is not healthy. You got to know how to just change the topic in a loving way.
In a loving way, not in a sarcastic way. Well, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, no. I don't argue anymore. Well, that's anxiety and fear, right? I don't do arguments no more. That's you reacting with anxiety and fear.
Yeah.
So it's more about your mind than what you say, and you know, and it's more about your actions than what you say out of your mouth in a lot of ways. The 7 Ultimate Guide to Saving and Fixing a Broken Marriage. So let's move on to the next one here. Let go. In this session of let go, we're talking about you gotta let go of perfection, you gotta let go of expectations, you gotta let go of your attachments to any type of ideology, to any type of cultural, traditional, anything that in the marriage, you need things to flow like water.
Right.
That's what Bruce Lee said. You know, you gotta have fun. We're going to talk about fun in a second. What do you think when it comes to perfections, expectations, and attachment, and letting go of those things?
Those things are like the devil, okay? Like, we all grew up with some kind of
expectations.
No. Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
I think the worst,
the right and wrong way to do it.
The worst one I hate hearing personally myself is Boseye Korilele.
Mm-hmm.
In Yoruba, they say Boseye Korilele. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'm like, says who?
Yeah. Says society.
Society,
yeah.
Culture. Those things put pressure, added pressure on the marriage. That
especially when you're dealing with someone that's already checked out.
Right.
Okay. So for people that are 100, of course, we have structures. We have rules.
Yes.
We have things we put in place to help us get to the same goal that we're all going to. Right. But when somebody's already checked out, you guys have different goals now.
Right.
And you're not telling them what something is supposed to look like. So if you have to remind them that something is supposed to look somehow, somewhere, you best believe they're going to receive that negatively. And them receiving negatively,
that would be manipulation.
You now go back to number 4 here, or whatever that number is, and you now react with fear and reject, fear and anxiety. Like, what do you mean? We're not, we don't dress like that. Keep telling her like that how to dress. Let's see how far you go, right? Or keep telling him how to talk, right? Or keep talking down on him
and telling him what to eat. I mean,
or what to eat.
Yeah, because I've seen so many things,
right?
And I kind of feel like we weren't even that extreme, and we're still going through this.
Yeah.
So imagine if you're that extreme.
Yeah,
you're telling an adult how to act, what to do. Mm-hmm. It will get to a point. It's going to get annoying.
You're telling... I want to be specific, babe.
Yeah.
You're telling an adult that already checked out on you. that already checked out on you how to act, how to... It's not going to come out fine.
That is not your child. Mm-hmm. So even your child, there's a limit to what you can really actually say.
Yeah.
So, it has to come out of a place of love, right?
Yeah. We're not saying... You shouldn't encourage each other to do the right things or what you perceive as the right thing. Is all in, number one, how you saying it. Is it coming off as you're giving to them? If it's coming off as you're taking from them or what you require of them, especially when they're already checked out, if not, the effect of it is you're going to push them away more and more and more and more until it's completely over and you're going to be more miserable, basically.
Yes.
So right now, in this time, you're trying to fix a broken marriage. You're trying to save your marriage. You need to, bottom line, build attraction. This 7 ultimate guide we're giving you is to build attraction back up. Because when you have an attraction that's a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10, everyone, you attracted somebody when they were 5 or more, right? If they're still at 5, you can attract them back. If they are below 5, you probably did a very horrible damage already. But for most people that got married, they're never really past 5 down because there's always a bond. Right? So you can absolutely fix it no matter how bad it looks. So if you have somebody that's already at 9, at 8 or anything like that, or somebody that's at 6, which is like really, really a bad place you want to be, you want to let go of any form of you telling an adult what to do. Because number one, they've checked out. They've unilaterally said they don't belong here and their actions are showing it. And you need to give them the gift of missing you. That's part of letting go.
Right.
You have to give them the gift of missing you so that they can be attracted back, because it's a demand supply, distance makes heart fonder kind of thing. You have to let them come back to a place where you can now start giving to them. And part of the things you can give to them is, babe, why don't you do it this way? Oh, no, I like it that way. It's a different conversation than, this is how I'm supposed to do that. The reason why you say this is how I'm supposed to, because they already checked out and you feel the need to talk to them like that, it's always going to backfire.
Yeah.
So this is an ongoing thing. So the list we're giving you right now, this 7 list, is not limited to this, but these are the core that we always reference and we notice most problems in marriages are attached to. Okay? Letting go. The first one was let God, right? Well, the, what is this? The 5th one is let go. Let go of perfection, okay? Your expectations of another human being. You're supposed to let God. God is the perfect one. God is the one that can give you the kind of trust level you need. If you're looking for trust from your significant other,
failure.
You're going to fail, okay? Both of you need to be in a place where you put your trust in
God.
And that's the only guaranteed trust you're going to have anyway, right? Because the Bible told you that over and over. The scriptures told you that over and over in multiple places. The 7 ultimate guide to saving and fixing a broken marriage. So the next one, sixth one, is communication. Communication is 80% listening, 20% talking.
Talking.
So now I'm going to listen and you're going to talk for the next 80%.
Me?
Yeah, yeah. Communication. Talk about communication.
Yeah, communication is a big deal. When you're communicating with someone, doesn't mean once they say something, you're attacking them back.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening because you really want to get to the core of the problem. But what I see is most people, it becomes an attack and defend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And communication, like I would say, I'm not such a good communicator. Like, I shy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't want that person to feel
attacked. You don't want confrontation. She doesn't
and
want
I
confrontation.
And I hate confrontation. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when something is being, even my spouse, or even outside, it could be someone that
you
I don't know.
You mean your husband?
If it's my husband.
You said my spouse.
Well, my husband. And spouse, husband is the same thing.
I'm just kidding.
Well, like, mine is bad to the extent mm-hmm. that even outside,
right.
the way I shy away from that confrontation with you, is the same way I'm outside.
Mm-hmm.
The outside, I don't even care about those ones. Like,
right.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your spouse at home, your husband or your wife,
yeah.
It's very important to say how you feel.
It's a destructive thing.
If you don't, it's going to lead you to the point where...
Yeah.
Because now, remember I said... I'm trying to be protective of his feelings and
right.
saying, I don't want that to come
right.
off wrong.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's still wrong.
Right.
Because now I'm
so
entertaining
so,
some destruction.
So let me put a hat on this one.
Right.
You're not even doing the 20% talking you're supposed to do. Because we didn't say 100% listening.
Right.
We say 80% listening and 20% talking. Your nature before, not now.
Right.
Your nature before was even the 20% talking... You wouldn't do it because you just shut off once it's a serious talk.
Yeah, like if I say it once, and it's not hearing it, I don't want to be that bitch.
Yes.
Yeah, I always say that. I don't want to be that nagging wife.
Right,
but sometimes you just have to hit the nail on the head. Like, no, we got to talk about
this. It's a destructive thing to do. You wanna communicate. And I noticed that everyone, including everybody that use common sense to plan marriage around here, right? Right? They always say, it's because they're not communicating. Well, here's the thing, okay? Most people's communication is talking, okay? So let's be first of all clear on that. If you mean talking, when you're talking communication, is wrong. It's wrong because when you're talking, you are basically talking your own ideas at another individual, another human being entirely. Yes, you guys are one, but it's still another individual.
But it's good that you said talking at...
Yeah.
You are talking at. You're not talking to.
You're not talking to. Because
that's
when you're talking to, you've listened to the person.
Right.
And you know where they stand, where they're standing. You have an idea of what they're trying to get at.
Right.
And that's talking to a person or talking with a person. When you're talking at people, which is what most people do, you are basically... You have an idea of what is supposed to. You have attachments to expectations, perfections, and your ideologies from where you were raised on an idea of what things are supposed to look like. And when that doesn't meet up to that point, you're disappointed.
Yeah.
And then now you start overreacting with fear and anxiety. And then you start talking at people.
Mm.
And then it becomes an argument. Usually, argument is not even communication. Usually, arguments are petty stuff, third-party stuff. So we're not even talking about argument. We already talked about that, right? Right now, we're talking about when it's time to have a serious talk. So let's give some tactics real quick. I know you're running out of time.
Yeah.
Let's give some tactics real quick. As a man, you have serious talk you want to have with your wife, you need to take her on a date. Take that opportunity to give to her. That's number one.
Don't say we gotta talk. We gotta talk. Have some passion.
You say we gotta talk to my wife. She shuts off instantly.
Like what?
Right. Right.
I'm like, what now?
Right. So, what if I don't have money to go on a date? You gotta wait until you have money to have a date. Because if you don't have money to go on a date, you don't even deserve to be having a talk.
Oh wow.
I'm sorry. As a man, that's what you need to be doing. As a woman, you need to communicate your feelings, and you need to be as explicit as possible, and because we don't read minds. Sorry, we just don't. We don't think you expect us to read mind. I think it's the way you communicate as a woman.
Oh, he's supposed to know that. No,
right. No, we don't know nothing.
This is true.
Right.
I had to learn that.
We don't know jack. Okay. You need to tell us. Okay. And sometimes multiple times. Okay, multiple times. You need to assume best case scenario. If it seems like it's not listening to you, assume best case scenario. He's just not paying attention yet. Let me just tell him one more time. Because anytime you feel like your husband is not listening, okay? Women don't lie. Men don't listen, right? We just don't listen, okay? Sometimes you have to pound it over and over. Take it as an opportunity to give. Because you go to a relationship to go give, not to take. When you say he's supposed to have heard it one time before, that's your taking moment. That's your taking attitude right there. Take it as another opportunity to give. He forgot again. Let me tell him. Eventually, he's going to give. Eventually, if it's too much, it's okay for a woman to say, we got to talk. If you say that to a man, he knows what time it is.
Yes, absolutely. Okay,
he knows what time it is. You don't have to take a man out on a date to say, we got to talk. A man, you have to wait. You need infinite patience to be a real man. You have to wait. Because she did something, or unless she's hitting her head on a rock right now, unless she's hurting herself, safety, security issues, you gotta have patience. You can't afford to use fear and anxiety to react.
To operate, to react
to anything she's doing. Babe, let me help you with this. Do that. Use any opportunity to act negatively. Use that to give. Use it as an opportunity to give to your spouse, because you guys are one. You're helping yourself when you do that.
Yeah.
Use it as an opportunity. And this is a bigger topic, obviously, but that's the key right there. That's the sixth guide. The seven ultimate guide to saving and fixing a broken marriage. The last but not the least type is have fun and lots of sex. Minimum of 2 to 3 per week.
I'll say 3 per week.
Well, lucky guy, right? So minimum of 2 to 3 per week. Have lots of sex. Take advantage of makeup sex, right? Because even though we gave you all those things, we're not saying you're not going to fall sometimes.
You're
going to fall multiple times. But you're better off than most people because you at least know that you're doing the wrong thing and you can get back up and know what you did wrong. Yes. Most people don't even know what they're doing wrong.
They don't know. They're just frustrated. What did you
have
now?
Fun.
Yeah.
Have fun. Have lots of sex. Use it as an advantage. Don't use it as a weapon against the other person. Okay? Don't use that unless that person is like completely shut off for you and they're not, you know, and you not attracted. If there's no attraction, that's a different topic.
You gotta build attraction.
And sex without attraction is punishment, basically.
Yeah. Well, you can help your spouse build attraction too, because I've had men say, "Oh, she got fat." Like,
well, you know what
she
I found?
Had your kids.
That's very true. But you know what I found? If a woman is attracted to you, they will help you. Multiple times, over and over, you can break the rules multiple times, over and over. That's what I found. So you're absolutely right that, you know, some people are very mean about it. And
some men are mean about it to their wives. It's not okay.
If somebody is being mean to you, chances are your attraction level, your love tank is deflating. Don't wait until it deflates all the way
through.
You
gotta work on yourself.
Work on yourself. Book a coaching session. You know, book a coaching session. And go through therapy. If it's still available to go through therapy, go to therapy. Don't go to therapy by yourself. Instead of going to therapy by yourself, book a coaching session. We do have coaching products that we offer at lolaandlola.com. Book a coaching session if you're working by yourself and you refuse to go, so we can help you navigate through that. Now, if he agrees to come to therapy, sure, go to therapy. Make him pay for it too, by the way. He's going to step up to the plate properly once he realizes he's paying a lot of money for that, you know, over time, you know. But if somebody's still willing to go to therapy with you, there's chances there. Yeah, there's all kind of chances. It's basically communication. And he will learn that he needs to listen to you rather than having somebody else help him listen to you. Right? Because that's what a therapist is.
And getting paid.
Right? And then getting paid for that, you know. So last but not least, have fun. Have lots of sex, because you can use that as a tool. If you have that kind of attraction and you guys are still having dog and cat sex, kind of like...
There's still hope. Seriously.
There's still hope. Use it. Leverage it as a tool and then take advantage of the pillow talk to say, you know what, when you did this, you know, I didn't appreciate this. When you did this, use that advantage, you know. Again, take advantage of any all negative moments as an opportunity to give. I'm yet to find a negative thing happening that you cannot use as an opportunity to give. The only one I know is when somebody is beating you up. If that's the case, seek help.
Yeah.
If any form of abuse, okay, not emotional, yes. not emotional and verbal. Emotional and verbal abuse can be easily mistaken as it may be something else. It's just you guys going through your test, okay? But physical abuse is a no-no. Seek help, okay? That's the only thing I'm not going
to
say give.
Yeah, that leads to death sometimes. You don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, that leads to death sometimes. Let me repeat, all right? Man, if a woman is talking to you or talking at you, Seth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking with you, right? And it feels like they're bringing up stuff from the past or anything like that. It's because you're making them feel the way they felt when that happened. It doesn't mean they don't want to do that, obviously.
It's a cry for help.
It's a cry for help.
And it's not an attack.
It's your moment to give, as I said. What she needs is for you to give her listening. Listen, and the only time you should be talking should be 20% of the time, and it's basically you repeating what she said back to her. So you say this, so when you said this, you mean it made you feel this way? That's the kind of conversations you want to have with a woman. It's not your opportunity to talk at them.
Or do tit for tat.
Yeah, tit for tat is not going to help you. You're the man. You're not supposed to be at that level. You're supposed to be there listening 80% of the time. And then women, make sure you do at least 20% of talking. Okay? You're supposed to be doing 80 in a healthy marriage, in a healthy situation, in a typical situation. You're supposed to be doing 80. But make sure you're at least communicating at least 20% because you may end up being
now,
someone
that
doesn't talk.
Now, when you say talking, it doesn't mean nagging, because that's another thing that most men feel like women do.
Right.
When you're nagging, you're not talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're talking out of love,
mm-hmm.
not out of, oh, now this is my child, I'm going to treat this man less than
so me. nagging usually comes with sarcasm, right? So you won't do this, right? See, again, I have to do this. So I guess I have to carry the trash out myself today. If you do talks like that, you're destroying your marriage. You're destroying yourself.
Yep.
Slowly, slow death. You know, you're doing that. So you definitely want to avoid sarcasm. And that's what most people interpret as nagging. It's basically you repeating yourself in sarcastic ways. And the guy's like, what is she talking about? I don't understand. Tell me exactly what's going through your mind.
Why?
You know, and it's like literally lost for real. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, why is it lost? Because it's a man. It's not a woman like you. You know, a woman would understand. And most men obviously hasn't gone through the kind of school I've gone through.
Mm.
So it's just something that it's an opportunity to give to him. Understand that he didn't get it. He really didn't. All right. So with that being said, please make sure we're going to be doing this for a long time.
Right.
Go to our page. You will see a donate button on the right hand side. Any value you feel you got out of it, whatever that is, 50 cents, $1, go ahead and donate something. Go download our book for free. We have a whole book for you for free. If you want it in Kindle, you can pay for it. I think it's about, it's something extremely cheap. The book is on there on Kindle. It's also available in paperback on Amazon.com. It's also available in audiobook. So you have no excuse if you don't want to read. You can actually listen. But this is a book you need to read 10 to 15 times to get a full grasp of what we're talking about. If you don't read it 10 to 15 times, it won't stick. It's just natural. And then you'll find yourself making the same mistakes over and over again, and it may become way too late. Right, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, and we'll see you on the next video. Peace.